Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation. Bonjour, Anine. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I'm SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from the studios of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. Today we have three special guests with us. These First Nations people are making a positive impact on the communities around them. Up first today, I'll be sitting down with a friend of mine, a former provincial minister and member of the Legislative Assembly, Kevin Chief. Is a member of the Pine Creek First Nation and is a well-known leader in Treaty 1 territory. I'm very pleased to tell you that Kevin has agreed to join the team at SCO this month, so you will be hearing more from him in the months ahead. In the second half of the show, I would like to introduce you to two young First Nations architectural interns, Darian McKinney of the Swan Lake First Nation and Rihanna Maracity of the Barrens Lands First Nations. They will join us for a discussion about their work, what inspires them, and their role in SCO's Wewena Begakinagan project. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next half hour here on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. One thing we focus on at SCO is sharing positive stories about First Nation citizens. The idea is to help inspire others. In the media, we often hear many negative stories when it comes to our communities. Our next guest is known for sharing his own stories of resilience and healing. Kevin Chief was a member of the Legislative Assembly in Manitoba from 2011 to 2017. He has a lot of experience working in the public sector and in community development. Born in Winnipeg's North End, Kevin served as a member of the provincial government representing Point Douglas and as well as serving as Minister for Children and Youth Opportunities as well as Minister for Jobs and the Economy. Following his time in office, Kevin became Vice President at the Business Council of Manitoba. He is the co-founder of the Winnipeg Aboriginal Sports Achievement Centre and is chairperson for the Centre for Aboriginal Human Resource Development. Kevin is a coach, a university graduate, and a winner of the Future Leaders of Manitoba Award for Community Service. And I'm happy to say he's here with me today in the studio. Kevin Chief, welcome to Fireside Chats.
It's great being here. Thank you so much. And I do want to start off by saying in your introduction that I am very proud to join the team at Southern Chiefs Organization. Of course, me and the Grand Chief have had a great friendship over many years, and I'm really proud to be working with you and working with the amazing people at the Southern Chiefs Organization. So proud to be here today as well.
Absolutely. And we're very fortunate to have you, Kevin. We're so thankful that you're helping us with the important work that needs to be done. Let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your childhood. What was it like growing up in Winnipeg's North End?
Well, they say Winnipeg's North End is the biggest urban reserve in the country. And I think that's true because that's where the highest concentration of Indigenous people live, in an urban area in all of the nation. And so, like so many other young people, we struggled. My dad raised me as a single father. I guess that was unique. We struggled with issues of poverty. There was lots of, you know, challenges with safety and gangs and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, I'm really proud of my roots in the North End. One of the most amazing things about that community, whether it was my teachers or my coaches or my friends, people had this ability that when they looked through my eyes, they didn't see hardship. They saw potential. And I was constantly reminded that if I worked hard, if I showed up, good things would happen. And I'm a proud North Ender. I think everybody knows that. And it's sort of like being in a First Nation. You don't have to go very far, maybe walk one city block and you bump into a cousin. So it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah, absolutely. How did this experience of growing up in an urban environment inspire your post-secondary education and your career path?
Well, you know, one of the things, I was fortunate, and you'd know this from your son and the amount of time you spend watching your boy play basketball, but I could shoot a basketball better than most people. And so for me, although I wasn't good in school, I always felt like I belonged in school because I was involved in after school, weekend, and summer programming through sports, particularly basketball. The other thing, although I was low income, I didn't have a lot of money. Every time I shot a basketball, my school's name was stamped on my chest. So I always got a sense of generosity. And I think because of my ability on the basketball court, I noticed that people could see my potential more. So at a very young age, I had coaches and teachers tapping me on the shoulder saying, you know, one day you can go to university. One day you could play basketball at the university. And I have four older brothers and none of them even graduated high school. So right away, because of my ability to shoot a basketball and my love for the game, opened up doors and opportunities that I still use today, because one of the most important things you get from a post-second education is you get a network. You meet a whole bunch of new people and then they move into jobs. And so very fortunate that I had that ability. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to start the Winnipeg Aboriginal Sport Achievement Center, because I realized maybe there's a lot of young people who can't shoot a basketball, but they should get a meaningful tap on the shoulder to say post-secondary is for them.
Thank you for that, Kevin. You know, basketball has really been the centerpiece for my son and I. You know, it's driven us daily. I mean, it's what we look forward to in the day. So important. Thank you for sharing that. How did you get involved in politics? How did that all turn into a political career?
Well, I always loved community. Like I'm a team sport guy. Like I don't excel at individual sports, but I've always excelled at team sports. And I think because of that love, it just naturally drew me into doing community events. And so as I was organizing and doing fundraising events in the community, I think people saw that in me. And I remember asking this question, the first Métis lieutenant governor in the history of Manitoba, I think Canada, was a guy by the name of Yvon Dumont. And I remember asking him that question one time, and this was long before I even thought about politics. I said to Yvon, how do you know when you should go into politics? And he said, you know, Kevin, I don't know if that's something that you see in yourself, but if other people see that in you, if enough people approach you, if enough people think that you can represent their values and you can represent a community of people, then it's something you should consider. And I got a tap from Judy Washalisalis, who was running at the time, was the federal MP for this very neighborhood we're in, recording NCI right now in the North Winnipeg North. And I like to call her Judy Chiefa Chiefa Chief and not Washalisalis. But she asked me to run. And that was sort of when I really started to consider politics. And then I got eventually asked by a longtime MLA by the guy named Doug Martindale. And then I became very good friends with our former premier, Gary Dewar's wife, Ginny Devine. And so I started to get surrounded by people that saw that in me. So
That's a great story. You know, I'd love to hear about how people have inspired and sort of helped lay the track for us. What are some of the most important lessons that you learned through that experience in public service?
What I would tell people about public service, whether it's you know, mainstream politics or you're running for your community or you know, chief and council or those things, is number one, is you won't believe how much you learn. There is no job that you'll learn more in than in public service. The second thing I would say to people, and I say this to lots of young people, is that whatever you're passionate about, let's say you're passionate about women's rights or indigenous rights, or let's say you're passionate about entrepreneurship and economic development, your voice is needed at the cabinet table. Your voice is needed in the legislature. Your voice is needed in the House of Commons. Your voice is needed at city council. Because whatever you're passionate about, if that passion isn't represented at the political level, big groups of people don't get proper representation. So you need a diversity of voices. And the wonderful thing about public service is you can make it what you want. And you start to realize how to start working with people and you start to expand your network. And I always tell people this, being the MLA for the neighborhood that has given me the most, the North End, is the best job I'm ever going to have. And so I always encourage people at least take the time to look at public service.
Absolutely. I'm just going to change the trajectory a little bit and just say, please tell us about the Winnipeg Aboriginal Sport Achievement Center. How does it help our young people? And what have you witnessed through the sports circle?
Well, WASAC, we started WASAC, and I want to thank you, Grand Chief, and I want to thank SCO because I know you guys did some fundraising and helped WASAC in the past, and we have some partnerships that we do together. We wanted to start WASAC. Really, WASAC isn't about athlete development. What we did is we wanted to provide sport, recreation, and cultural activities because we found that if you provide sport, rec, and culture activities, there's something there for all young people to do so that we could enhance their natural gifts and talents. But the idea of WASAC is to extend the school day. So we don't want better athletes. We want to help develop better students. And no matter how well we teach curriculum in the classroom, if young people aren't part of the school community, doing something outside of the classroom, they'll never truly feel like they belong. The other need for WASAC is you can't build resilient children, young people and families without having role models. And so we love being able to showcase the incredible talents and gifts of young Indigenous people. And you talked about in the introduction about the power of stories. And so we try to use WASAC to build the platform to tell the incredible stories of success, achievement, and resiliency of Indigenous youth from across Manitoba. And so we're really proud of it. And I've always found that it was a really good way for me to give back on the things that I love and care about.
Thank you, Kevin. We're getting near to the end here, so I'm just going to condense these last two questions. I'm going to ask you, if there are First Nations people who are listening to the show, young First Nations people listening to the show, what would your word of advice be to those young people? And second, February is I Love to Read Month. Do you have a book that you would recommend to our listeners?
Well, what I would tell young people, and this is what I tell them, I always give 3 points. You got to show up. And 90% of success in life is just showing up. Just get there. Number two, work hard, which simply means just put your best effort that day. Just put your best effort. And number three, never underestimate the power of learning. The best leaders that I've seen in the community, they never stop learning. In fact, if you sit down with leaders in our community, you'll find they ask you lots of questions. And so you be a sponge. Understand one of the greatest gifts is to learn. And for I Love to Read, I gotta say Tasha Spillett. She's an Indigenous artist. She's a WASAC alumni. She worked at William White School, and she has a wonderful book called I Sang You From the Stars. And I would say to anyone listening, if you are doing I Love to Read, there's some amazing authors out there like Tasha. First Nation Premier Wab Kanu has a book out. David Robertson has a book out. So there's some wonderful authors. So let's help promote those books and get out for I Love to Read.
Thank you, Kevin, for that. Yeah, I went to school with Tasha, so great to see her authoring books now.
Yeah.
It's always good to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats, Kevin.
Right on. I look forward to our work together. Kichimi Gwich.
You are listening to Fireside Chats. I'm your host and SEO Grand Chief, Jerry Daniels. As discussed in the first half of the show, SEO is committed to telling positive stories about First Nations citizens who are making a difference in our communities. Our next guests are both First Nations youth whose work is going to benefit our nations for decades to come. As we continue to focus on the importance of economic reconciliation, we also want to bring awareness to the fact that we need First Nations citizens to take on leadership roles in this area. This is why I'm so pleased to have Darian McKinney and Rihanna Morassity with me now in the studio. These two architectural interns, whose key roles in working with SEO's project Wewena Benakinagan, we're so thankful that they've contributed. This is SEO's project to transform the former Bay building in downtown Winnipeg to a multi-use building that includes affordable housing, a museum, a daycare, assisted living, and more. I want to let listeners know that they can visit the SEO website for more information about this exciting project. Joining us now to talk more about that is Darian McKinney and Rihanna Morassity, who both work with the number 10 architectural group here in Winnipeg. Welcome to Fireside Chats.
Thanks for having us, Grand Chief.
Yeah, thank you, Grand Chief.
Let's start about learning more about the both of you. Darian, can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hello, my name is Darian McKinney. I'm an architectural intern with Number 10 Architectural Group, Anishinaabe, and a member of Swan Lake First Nation, and I grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Rihanna, can you also introduce yourself to our listeners?
Tansi, my name is Rihanna Morassity. I am Woodlands Cree from Northern Manitoba, Barrenlands First Nation. I'm also an architectural intern with Number 10 Architectural Group, and I also do a lot of advocacy work in terms of Indigenous architecture, so thank you for having me.
Thank you, Rihanna. Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and how you ended up pursuing a career in architecture? Or in a nutshell, what would you say is the role of an architect in that career path?
So the way that I got into architecture really stemmed from my experience within my home community. I mainly grew up in Brandon, Manitoba, but in the summer months, I would go up to my community and be raised by my grandparents. So my kugum and my papa were the ones that instilled in me traditional Indigenous architecture and log cabin building. So that's originally how I got into wanting to be a carpenter. But then further to that, I wanted to make a larger impact in terms of Indigenous communities, and that's how I got into architecture from there. And I see my role as an architect as being someone that's a voice for our community and also instilling a lot of our values, our perspectives, our histories, our stories in the places and spaces that we enter into. And so I see that as my role.
Thank you, Rihanna. Darian, I'd like to ask you the same question. How did you end up pursuing a career in architecture? And what would you say is the most exciting part about becoming an architect?
My father worked in construction throughout my life, and that was really kind of something that inspired me. I had initially thought to be an engineer, but going through university, I kind of found my way into architecture. But really the most exciting part, I think, is really having a hand in the design of spaces that people occupy. It's really quite exciting to me to have that play.
Darian, you and Rihanna are two members of the architectural team working on our project to reimagine the Bay Building in downtown Winnipeg. Can you share a little bit about how this project is going and why is it important to you?
The project is going really well. You know, we're really taking our time and being careful and deliberate about how we design this space. But it's so important to me as it's an Indigenous project kind of taking over this keystone building in downtown Winnipeg, really kind of having our place as First Nations people in the downtown.
Last year, a reporter from the New York Times came to meet with both of you on site at the Bay Building. There have been quite a number of media outlets who've been interested in talking with us about the HBC project. Rihanna, what are some facts about this project that you think our listeners would find interesting? Was there anything that surprised you about the old Bay Building once you started spending more time looking at it?
Yeah, obviously this, since the building has been built in the 1920s, there's a lot of history behind it. And that's what makes this type of partnership so historic and monumental with the First Nations community. And with a lot of history, there comes a lot of things that we've discovered as we've been going through the existing drawings and also the existing building. And that is, there's a lot of nooks and crannies. There's a lot of hidden rooms. There's a lot of, what I found very interesting is the basement and how it looks kind of like a submarine and like very futuristic and stuff like that. And so it was all of those things that really surprised me. But another thing that surprised me is all of the memories that came out of this space. There's a lot of Winnipeggers that really made a lot of memories, both Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities that came out of this space. And we heard all of those through the process of planning this building. And so those are the ones that really surprised me.
Thank you, Rihanna. Now I want to ask you both a question. I don't know how many First Nations architects there are. I'm glad the two of you are pursuing this path for your career choice. We have young First Nations people listening to this program. So I'd like to ask you both to share your thoughts on why it is important for First Nations youth to have a seat at the table when it comes to big projects like the one we're working on in downtown Winnipeg. Darian, I invite you to answer this question first.
For a long time, First Nations didn't even have a seat at the table. So it's really important to kind of take that time now and give this First Nations Indigenous lens that's really been lacking. But moving forward in downtown Winnipeg, having this Indigenous lens will create a much better kind of community-based living space.
Yeah, I think it really just builds capacity for our youth. Many First Nations youth have the odds really stacked against them. A lot of them don't have the opportunities and capabilities to have their opportunities to shine and also lead. And this really allows them to gain confidence. And for myself, it was these opportunities that allowed me to find my voice as a First Nations youth. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity, not only from our firm of Number 10 Architectural Group, but then also the leaders of SCO that has allowed us to have our voice within this project.
Who are some of the First Nations people who have inspired you and why?
You know, a big one is seeing Wab become the leader of the province. It's really kind of inspiring seeing that a First Nations person can kind of reach that level. Another person that I have to say is my father. You know, he worked hard to provide for us growing up, and well, both my parents, but my father did a lot to help us as children.
Yeah, when I was thinking about this, there's a lot of deadly people within our community that are doing such great work, and it's hard to just choose one. But the ones that I wanted to give a shout out is, first of all, my partner, Jeremy McKay, who's doing a lot of work in terms of the law for our First Nations people. I want to give also a shout out to my dad as well. He tried really hard to provide a good life for us, and he's also the reason why I went into university from high school. And then there's also some mentors in my life that are really impactful. Obviously, Jerry, you inspire me. Joy and Jennifer from SCO also inspire me, but also Kevin Chief. I listened to his story at one of the SCO healing gatherings, and his story really had an impact on me. And another one is David Robertson, who really works to bring his stories to light as a Cree person. And there's way more many people that I could mention, but it's those ones that I really think inspire me from the root.
February is I Love to Read Month. I'd like to ask you both if you have a favorite book you'd like to recommend to our listeners.
Yeah, I just recently finished this one, and it's called Firekeeper's Daughter by Angelina Bulley. And it's about this young woman who's Ojibwe, and she's going through the impacts of the drug and alcohol addiction within her own community. And it tells that story of how she overcame that. But it's also a story of resilience and prosperity and First Nation ceremonies that she's really tied to her story. And so that's something that I've been really tied to.
I would recommend Did You See Us? It's a book from the Assiniboia Residential School Legacy Group. The book paints personal stories of Indigenous youth that went through the residential school system in an urban environment here in Winnipeg. I've done a bit of work with the Assiniboia Residential School Legacy Group, helping to design their monument, and really just the interactions with the elders and survivors has really changed my perspective a lot and given me a lot of knowledge. So I highly recommend that book.
Darian, Ryan, Rihanna, in terms of your career path and the inspiration that got you there, what would you tell our listeners in terms of what inspired you and what keeps you going every single day? What drives you?
What drives me is a lot of the voice of our young people. I'm always inspired by the people that continuously get up every day and advocate for First Nations mental health, First Nations communities, and First Nations language, and First Nations architecture. And it's all of those people that get me up every day, but it's also the people that I interact with on a daily basis within all of my projects. A lot of my projects are First Nations based and Indigenous based, and it's those communities that really get me up in the morning because I am doing it for them. I'm doing it for the people that is going to be within this building, and I'm doing it for their stories, and that's what gets me up.
Yeah, I think I really have to agree with Rihanna here. It's working towards Indigenous communities and for Indigenous people. Just knowing that you can kind of wake up every day and try and make a difference in this world is really what it comes down to and what inspires me every day.
Darian McKinney and Rihanna Morasti, it has been so good to talk with you. I am excited to see what the future holds for our project in downtown Winnipeg, and I'll also be interested in seeing where the two of you go with your careers. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Thank you, Ekosed, Gary.
Thank you, Grand Chief.
And that's going to be it for this edition of Fireside Chats. Thank you to our listeners, our guests, our producer, Kate Kent, Melanie Ferris, Al Foster, and everyone at SCO and NCI who has been helping us put this show together. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can send us an email, media@scoinc.mb.ca. We look forward to your feedback and bringing you a new episode of Fireside Chats next week. On behalf of our entire team, I'm SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, Miigwech, Padamaya, for listening. Thank you. Talk soon. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. We hope you join us next time for Fireside Chats, every Friday at 5:30, right here on NCI FM.